What up, y'all? Welcome back to the True Glow Sports Show. I'm your host, Chris, and we got a lot to get into today. We got the NFL playoffs heating up, especially in the Western Conference with the Kings, Suns, and Mavs fighting for the sixth spot and see who could get out of the play-in. Right now, the Kings hold the sixth seed, Mavs hold the seventh seed, and the Suns hold the eighth seed, but that could all switch up within these last 15 games and less than a month left of NBA regular season basketball. And second, got the NFL free agency. We all know the big splashes that happened, all the trades that happened from Fields to Wilson to Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles. So a lot of big things have happened this free agency, and let's talk all about it right now. So first we're gonna go to the teams, in my opinion, that have made the biggest jumps when it comes to roster wise and free agency wise. So let's get into it real quick. First, we got the Atlanta Falcons, who picked up Darnell Mooney and Kirk Cousins. Now the Desmond Ridder era in Atlanta's over. They shipped him to Arizona. So, Kirk Cousins. Now, a lot of people gonna say, "Oh man, it's gonna put Atlanta over the top. They gonna win that division. They gonna win that division easily. The NFC South." In my opinion, Kirk Cousins is above average quarterback at best. He's a borderline top ten quarterback if he's that. And does he name me Tom Kirk Cousins? I got the job done. Kirk Cousins probably has two playoff wins, if I'm not mistaken. No playoff success. Let's get that out of the way. I'm not saying you got a playoff success to be a good quarterback, but I'm just saying people acting like he gonna take him to the division around even conference championship game. Now the Falcons, I think they'll be in a little bit above 500 team. They might be a 10 win team because regarding he does have weapons on that team with, just like I said, adding Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and running back. In my opinion, he's a unicorn. He can do it all, catch on the backfield and everything. Bijan Robinson. I think that offense could be very, very deadly. Now, I'm not sure about the defense. Now, I'm not sure about the defense being very much of a big factor. What I'm trying to say is that I don't see the defense being really elite. But I could see that offense being better with Kirk Cousins. He's more of the veteran. But given a 36-year-old quarterback, 4 years, 180 mil, 100 mil guaranteed. That's a lot. Age can catch with a Kirk Cousins anytime we know. And not everyone could be Tom Brady. But again, the quarterback position, that means you can have a longevity in this, but the way he plays. But he's taking a lot of shots to the chest and ribs. So that takes a toll on his body. But this is a kind of iffy type of contract. 4 years for, like I said, for a 36-year-old quarterback. He doesn't have a lot of injury problems, but he is coming off in the Achilles tear. So that could hinder the way he plays, obviously. Now, he's not a mobile quarterback, but he'll move when he has to. You know what I mean? He'll move when he has to. He's not a scrambler, but he's like a Rodgers. Again, Rodgers doesn't scramble a lot, but he scrambles when he has to, when he has to make more time to make a play. So I think this is an upgrade for the Falcons for sure. That's an upgrade for the past quarterbacks they had these past years, ever since the Matt Ryan era ended with him going to the Colts. But this is a very good upgrade for the Falcons. This is a step in the right direction. But the contract's kind of iffy, in my opinion. Adding Darnell Mooney was a very good pickup, adding another weapon to the team offense. And hopefully, with Raheem Morris, he could really, really changed the way the team was running on offense, because Arthur Smith had that offense completely all messed up. So we'll see how he goes with being the head coach and stuff. Next team is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They picked up Darnell Savage, Gabe Davis, Ronald Darby, Devin Duvernay, and traded for Mac Jones. And they re-signed Josh Allen, the edge rusher, and Daniel Thomas, the safety. So this is very good, in my opinion. Trevor Lawrence, same thing with Justin Herbert. It's the same thing. To me, I think they're both in the same situation, like have they been. People saying, oh, they have all his potential to win. He could be a franchise quarterback. He has the size. He has the arm strength. Same thing they say for Justin Herbert. And they gave him all the tools. I think that that the coach at the time that the Chargers had, he just wasn't a good coach. Now, they had Austin Eckler, they had Michael Williams, they had Keenan Allen, but they just wanted to put it together. Now, back with the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence. They have Calvin Ridley, who moved on to the Tennessee Titans, signed a deal there. So now they have no bona fide number one receiver. Now, to go out there and go get Gabe Davis, who has always been a reliable receiver for the Buffalo Bills, and I think he could thrive in this Jacksonville offense. Him and Christian Kirk really can. I think the play calling got a chance. I don't know if it's the play calling or the schemes out the running or the O-line, the strip is not being good. I think some things got to change over though, Jacksonville, if they really want to make that step in the right direction. Because they always been right there in the playoff run for the past 2-3 years. They even made the playoff once. And I think Jacksonville, they were putting the right foot in the right direction. But that left foot is like halfway there. It's like they got to make not a big splash, but they have to make the right decision to get over that hump. And we'll see if any of these new moves are here on the right additions. They picked up Mac Jones as the backup quarterback, so I guess he could sit back and learn from Trevor Lawrence and really grow. Because outside that rookie year, Mac Jones has been a very, very bad quarterback, in my opinion. So we'll see how the Jaguars do. That was a very good pickup. It was a very good offseason so far for them. The next team we're going to go to is the Washington Commanders. They pick up no big name players besides Austin Eckler. You consider him that, but he had a really bad season last year. Consider that he got injured, but he lost that breakout speed that he had. There were a lot of clips going on online, and you look up, and he does look as fast as he used to be. Now, people don't understand this, but people thinking that Austin Eckler will be the borderline number one running back for Washington. No, he's not. He's going to split carries with Brian Robinson, and I think it's going to be just fine. I think Austin Eckler could be a very good third down running back for them. And considering who the quarterback could be, Jayden Daniels, Drake May, or possibly the bridge quarterback that just picked up, Marcus Mariota, who could possibly start game one if they're not 100% of the rookie they're probably going to draft. So, we'll see how this goes. They picked up Dan Quinn as the head coach, who I was going to be the defensive coordinator. Cliff Kingsbury, who's also known for having a running gun offense with Patrick Mahomes back in college at Texas Tech, and Kyler Murray with the Cardinals, but didn't really work out right there. So we'll see. In my opinion, I think Jayden Daniels would be the better pick for that second overall pick for the Washington Commanders, so they could really make some long strides into the right direction for them in the future. And some more pickups they had was Dante Flower Jr. They picked up some defensive players from the Cowboys. Flower Jr., Dorlance Armstrong is also from the Cowboys, and the center, Tyler Bydes. I know I probably said the last name wrong, but the Cowboys starting center from last year. Also had a very big upgrade at linebacker. Frank LaVuvu from the Carolina Panthers. Him and Bobby Wagner. It is a very, very big upgrade from the Commanders. They haven't had a good linebacker since London Fletcher. Think about that. That's about cool 10 to 12 years ago. That was in the early 10. So, not saying it's going to make them the best linebacker group in the league, but it's for sure an upgrade. I think, though, they won't have to make a big trade over. They have to worry about that from now on. They can still draft someone in the draft. But him and still having Jamin Davis on the team, it's still very nice for them. And Zach Ertz, very nice tight end to have. Now, of course, he's not as prime no more like he was with Troy 17 Eagles when they made that one to the Super Bowl. But he's still productive. He's still productive. He's not a top 10, not tight end. Yeah, he is, in my opinion, my bad, I'm kind of over on the place a little bit. But in my opinion, he's not a top 10 tight end no more. But he's still acceptable. Jeremy Chinn, also a very good safety coming from the Panthers. Signed on a low one-year deal. See what he could do. Cam Curl walked from them to go to Los Angeles. He's very good. You ask me, Jeremy Chinn. He could be the replacement for Cam Curl, obviously. And we'll see how it goes with this coming season. He getting another chance, another shot, another good shot. I think he probably get a starting job for Week One. So we'll see how that go with the Commanders and how, because they picked up a lot of players for having them. Arguably the most cap space in franchise history. I think over $80 million, if I'm not mistaken. And the Patriots had over $104 million, but we'll talk about the Patriots later. But watch the Commanders, so we'll see how it goes with them. Last thing we'll talk about is the Houston Texans. They picked up Daniel Hunter, Joe Mixon, Jeff Okuda, and we signed some of the key players from last year's playoff run. Dalton Schultz and Desmond King and Khalil Davis, tight end. So this is very good for them. They need to add more pass rushing outside of Will Anderson Jr., the tight end from Bama last year. So, picking up Daniel Hunter, who's always been consistent, in my opinion, for the past 8 to 10 years. However long he's been in the league, he's been consistent the whole time. So, adding him to the other side of that line, that's a very big upgrade, in my opinion. That adds more depth to him. So, even if one of them goes down, you still got one of them out there. And Joe Mixon, it's going to be nice out there with Devin Singletary, if I'm not mistaken, still on that team. Damian Pierce is still on our team. So, they're adding more to that running back depth, which is always nice to have for any team. Just don't have running back. You got to have at least two or three, in my opinion. Because running backs, they get disrespected a lot, but they could. But the running backs get run to the ground easily. So if you have two or three running backs that you can really trust and you think are good or decent enough, that's very nice to have on any team. Jeff Okuda, obviously a former lottery pick coming from the Falcons, and didn't play great over there. Played acceptable. He played just fine. But he ain't played to obviously the lottery pick that we all thought he was going to be. So we'll see if he could redeem himself for the Texans and see what he could do over there with Desmond King on the other side of the ball. Well, on the other side of the field, my bad. Some more pickups that happened throughout the league the past couple days, big pickups at that. Keenan Allen to the Bears, which wasn't free agency, it was a trade. Sixth-round pick for Keenan Allen. He's a very good pickup. Adding more weapons for soon-to-be Caleb Williams since Justin Fields got traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers and Russell Wilson's going to the Steelers also. So Justin Fields right now will look like he's going to be a QB2. Look like he'll be a backup quarterback for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, I was going to get the starting job, what it looks like. So we'll see how that goes over there in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Keenan Allen going to Chicago Bears. Very big pickup for him. Didn't give him much for him. He's always been consistent. Always been a possession receiver. Always got numbers. He's been consistent his whole career. He wanted a new contract with the Steelers, with the Chargers, and they didn't give it to him. So he's starting a new chapter going to the Chicago Bears. I think it's a very good pickup for him. And back on the Chargers, they dropped Mike Williams. That's a very interesting thing for them to do, because I think Mike Williams, not saying he's a number one receiver, it's far from that, especially the way he plays, but he's not a number one receiver. But I think he would have been nice to still have on the roster. But I think with Jim Harbaugh and coming to the Chargers, I think he wants to start completely over. Now, they'll probably still keep Justin Herbert and some of the other pieces like Joey Bosa. They'll still keep some of them, and then Derwin James also. But when it comes to outside of those main core pieces, they're probably going to start all over with moving on from Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams, and probably going to go get someone in the draft and possibly this free agency, if not next free agency, and freeing up some more money. Another big pickup doing this free agency, Tyron Smith to the Jets. Tyron Smith got cut by the Cowboys, and it's a one-year deal that could go up to $20 million with incentives going to New York Jets and possibly blocking for Aaron Rodgers, which will probably happen. So, obviously, Nemo blocking for Rodgers and coming off the Achilles tear. And it's a very, very good pickup for the Jets. Tyron Smith is one of the best tackles to ever play the game of football. He's had injury problems the past, I'd say, about 5-6 years. But he's always been good when he's out there on the field. The problem is that the best ability is availability, easily. But the problem was that he's not out there enough. But this one-year deal, $20 million, he's old, but he's still a very good tackle, in my opinion. When he's out there, easily still elite. He's just not out there enough. On to the next big pickup, you ask me my opinion. Chase Young, former 49ers DN, is going to New Orleans Saints on a 13-year, one-year deal, fully guaranteed. So, Chase Young, so thing about him is he's inconsistent. He's not consistent at all. Coming from a Washington fan myself, Chase Young was my favorite player. And I saw that rookie year when he went off and had over 10 sacks. Like, man, we got some sort of generation talent. Everything about the hype was true. He came from Ohio State, him being one of the best DN pass rush prospects since Lawrence Taylor and Marcus Strahan and them. I thought it was true at first, but then started getting injuries. Then we traded him to the 49ers. Then they start saying how he doesn't give enough effort and how he didn't do nothing in the path going to the Super Bowl. Now, he did get a sack at the Super Bowl, but still, he still hasn't live up to that full-on potential to what he could become. Now, I know this is true, but it comes from Adam Schefter. He said that the New Orleans Saints today, now, they knew about this, but Chase Young is undergoing a neck procedure that is expected to sideline him into training camp. The expectation is that he will return in time for the season. Teams were aware of this neck issue, and the Saints were comfortable moving ahead with it. So, Chase Young could have been signed earlier if, you know, if he didn't have his neck injury, but other teams were okay. We're not 100% on signing with him because he has a neck injury, and he might be ready for the season. Now, the neck procedure could kind of stop him from doing certain things, doing training camp, stuff like that. But I think it's a good pickup for the Saints. It's a low-risk, high-reward type signing, you ask me. It's still a lot of upside to Chase Young, but it's just he has to stay consistent to give effort 24-7. That's the main thing. If you give effort, you will get good things out of it. And some more in Chiefs Kingdom, stand up once again. They signed Marquise Hollywood-Brown to a one-year deal. And obviously, Mahomes, we've seen him win Super Bowl just this past year with no true number one. MVS wasn't number one. Juju Smith-Schuster's not a number one. And here they go again. They signed a speedster, not Tyreek Hill, but still signed a speedster. And possibly, in this coming draft, going to sign A.D. Mitchell. Draft A.D. Mitchell or draft Xavier Worthy, which are two speedsters coming out to draft. So we'll see how that goes. But Chiefs, again, adding more just solid receivers to the squad. You don't need elite receivers to win a Super Bowl. You don't need elite receivers to win a Super Bowl. Last time I seen that was Cooper Kupp with the Detroit 21 Rams. So, but again, you don't need elite receivers to win Super Bowls. So we'll see. We'll see about that with the Chiefs. But, and yeah, it's my opinion, a very good pickup for him. And back on the NFL draft. So, obviously, right now we're going to talk about the top three picks. People saying, number one, obviously, it's going to be Caleb Williams. Now, two, Commanders, three, Patriots. People flip and flop back and forth saying, oh, Washington should draft Drake May. Oh, no, Patriots should draft Drake May. Washington should draft Jaden Daniels. And Patriots draft Jaden Daniels. Either way, in my opinion, I think it should go Bears 1, and they give Caleb Williams. Commanders 2, they get Jaden Daniels. Patriots 3, they get Drake May. I think that would be the best for them because Commanders, they have a bridge quarterback in Marcus Mariota. Him and Jaden Daniels kind of play the same scrambling quarterback, but don't mainly depend on the feet to make plays. They can still make plays out the pocket. They can move out the pocket, still make plays. So I think Jaden Daniels would be the best pickup for him and for Cliff Kingsbury offense. I think Drake May, he just fits the Patriots, in my opinion. Now, it comes to past quarterbacks the Patriots have, Mac Jones and other ones like Jacoby Brissett, and ever since the Tom Brady era ended there, I think Drake May would be nice for them. He has all the tools to be in the quarterback. In my opinion, I think the Commanders just shouldn't pick a back-to-back North Carolina quarterback. They already picked Sam Howell a year or two ago. Now drafting Drake May from North Carolina also. In my opinion, I just don't think it'll go well together. So I think one should go to Bears, two should go Commanders, and three should go Patriots. That's my opinion on that. Now let's just have a segment to honor the legend Aaron Donald. He retired this past week. Now let's just take a look at his 10-year career. He came in league trade 14, won Defensive Rookie of the Year, Pro Bowl. From 2015 to 16, first team All-Pro and a Pro Bowl. 17 to 18, won back-to-back DPOYs. 2021 DPOY. And for all these years, he was first team All-Pro and a Pro Bowl and an All-Pro. And 2021 won a Super Bowl. So very, 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 very legendary career. Just in a 10-year stance. And this is very nice. In my opinion, I think he's the best defensive player in football for the past 10 years. Ever since he came into the league, the most consistent, and it got better every single year. And he could have played another year if he wanted to. He just wanted to hang it up, and already won a Super Bowl, so he really had none else to prove anyone else wrong, stuff like that. And people widely regard him the best D tackle of all time, over John Randall and Warren Sapp and players like that. So I just want to give a quick shout out to Aaron Donald, legendary year, legendary D tackle, legendary defensive player. Congrats on the legendary career. Now we switch over sports and go over to the association basketball. So we're going to talk about specifically the Western Conference. We'll go over to the Eastern Conference in a little bit. But Western Conference specifically is heating up, especially from the 6th seed to the 8th seed between the Kings, Mavericks, and Suns. Now, let's go on and look at the Mavericks coming up schedule next 5 games. Today, as of March 19th, they have the Spurs March 21st, they have the Jazz. 25th, they have the Jazz. In back-to-back games, they have the Kings. Then they have the Kings again. So these next two series coming up, the Jazz and Kings, especially the Kings, are very big ones. So you would think they win the Spurs game today. Jazz game, if they're fully healthy, they'll win both of those. And those Kings game, the 26th and 29th, will be very big. So I think the Mavs will possibly go, I'll say 4-1. I say 4-1 this coming up stretch and lose one of the games to the Kings. Now, let's switch over to the Sacramento Kings and see what the coming up games are. Now, I think the Kings are a very, very good team. Straight up, they got De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk. Malik Monk is a very good pickup for them when they had the past couple of years. And he just fits the team very well. Now, obviously, next five games, you got Raptors, that's probably dub. Wizards, probably dub. Magic's dub. Sixers, dub. Then they have the second half of back-to-back, then they play the Mavericks, and they play the Mavericks again on Friday. So, Kings, they could win this Raptors game, Wizards game, Magic game. That Sixers, the Mavericks, then they play the Mavericks twice after that. I think the Kings on this next coming stretch to probably go, I say they go 5-1 next six games. They go 5-1. They lose one. They split one with the Mavs, and then they win the rest. Then they win all the games before that. And next, we're gonna go to the Suns. Suns, we all know about the Suns, man. Very offensive minded team with Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Nurkic. Nurkic is a very good center, beyond underrated. Puts up double doubles every single game. You got Grayson Allen shooting his lights out this whole season. He's shooting like prime Klay Thompson. And I think offensive-wise, they just find the defense is just so bad on that team. It's ridiculous. So only have Josh Okogie, and Josh Okogie can't do everything. Now, next six games, the Suns have Sixers, tomorrow Hawks, Spurs back-to-back, Nuggets, and Thunder. Now, in my opinion, I think they'll probably lose three of these games, honestly. They lose tomorrow against Sixers, and Lucas and Nuggets and Thunder. Teams they beat is the Hawks, and they pay Spurs back-to-back. And I think, okay, out of these three teams, let's sit here and really think about this. In my opinion, the team rolling right now is the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the Mavericks have been shaky all year. They had seven-game win streak, then they went straight into four-game losing streak, then they went straight into winning five out of the last six. Mavericks are just completely shaky. Straight up as that. When they get hot, they get hot. When they are off, I mean, they are completely off. And just losing games that they should be winning. So, as of right now, I think the Mavericks are going to get the sixth seed. But, you know, knowing the Mavs, it probably end up changing. It probably still end up being the Kings to get that sixth seed. Because right now, the Suns and Mavs are tied for the seventh seed, but the Mavs have the game breaker. I mean, they have the season series on the Suns, so why not do the seventh seed? And the Mavs are half a game back behind the Kings for the sixth seed. So it's very much heating up over there in the Western Conference, and obviously you got the Lakers and Warriors being outliers. They're going to still make the play-in, but they're probably not going to do anything when they get into the play-in. If they somehow make it out of the play-in, they're going to get mollywhopped by the Thunder or Timberwolves. So we ain't worried about them. So those are my thoughts on Western Conference. Eastern Conference, this year is the Boston Celtics year to win. If they don't at minimum, I mean bare minimum, make the finals this year, it'll be L season, be a bust season. Because I don't see no one in the East me beating them. The Bucks are a good team. Cavs are a good team. The Knicks are very much better than what they were last year, but no one's touching the Celtics. From top to bottom, that team is ridiculous. Tatum, Holiday, Porzingis, Brown, Derrick White's playing like a... He's playing so good right now. It's ridiculous. Derrick White is, in my opinion, is a very much an elite role player in this league. He's the glue guy you need on every single championship and deep playoff team that you need. It's a guy like him you need to have on your team. It's ridiculous. And you got Payne Richard just sparking through. He's like a 2011 J.J. Beweya. So he's just doing everything right now. Eastern Conference, it should just be, in my opinion, if I have to predict the finals right now, it would be Celtics. Now, coming from a Mavs fan, I hate the Clippers. I'll say Clippers too. I'll say Clippers. The Thunder and Timberwolves are too young. Nuggets, obviously, you can't say Nuggets are a bad team still. I mean, they can't say that the Nuggets are a bad team, but Nuggets are still a really good team. I think the Clippers got all the tools to make it to the finals right now. But honestly, I'll say Nuggets-Celtics. I'll say Nuggets-Celtics. I'll say Nuggets-Celtics as my finals preview, and we'll see if that stands true on June 6th when Game 1 happens. And yeah, y'all, that's the podcast for today. I know it was a little short, kind of clobbered everything together, and it was I'll make sure I try to organize it better, everything better. But let me know if y'all like the way that the podcast was ran today. Let me know. I just want feedback and tips on how to make y'all's experience better on watching, listening to this podcast. So I'm appreciate it a lot. This is Chris, the True Glow Sports Show. We out.